Second Peter chapter 2. I started off in my notes writing continuing in our studies. I believe for now the Lord is bringing this study that we have been on, Simon Peter, an apostle of Christ. We're in part number 141, and I believe this will be our last study of this subject, of this series of studies we've had. A reminder of what's been going on so far up until where we are now. Peter has gone from encouraging you and I, encouraging all of God's elect, encouraging the very ones that he addresses in his first epistle, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, encouraging us to walk worthy of our standing with God in chapter 1 of 2 Peter. He encourages us to go on and fight the good fight. Our standing before God, a standing of perfection, a perfection accomplished only in our Savior. His perfection, the Lord Jesus' perfection, is ours. He goes from that to warning us of false preachers in the beginning of chapter 2. He says there were false prophets also among the people, speaking of the old time prophets, even as there shall be false teachers among you. That's in verse 1 of chapter 2. And we covered through verse 3 of chapter 2. And now I want to take up in verses 4 through 9, if you would. 4 through 9. Second Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that the righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. And then verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Let me ask you this. Do you ever get tired of hearing these words that we read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance in heaven for you, you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. Do you ever get tired of hearing that?
Nope.
Absolutely not. I don't. I don't believe any of God's children ever get tired of hearing that. That's good news to a sinner. We sure have a lot of stuff going on in the world around us, don't we?
Amen.
It almost can bring us to the wonder of where is our Lord? What is happening? How can the world be falling apart in such a way so desperately? I tell you how. Because of sin. And you and I would be right there with it. Right there with it. It tears my heart out to get up and look at a news story about a woman teacher who's teaching children to be men, girls to be men, and men to be, and boys to be girls. It just breaks my heart how you can take something that is such a lie and teach it as it is truth. Or the homosexuality and how it's, you can just be anything you want and you can have any love you want. Why don't you just go love dogs? This is the stuff that was going on that it's talking about in verse 7 with Lot. Imagine how Lot felt. Do you think he felt any different than you and I do? Nope. Absolutely not. We were talking about this in Friday night study. The dear, dear brothers and sisters in Christ who lived those 400, during those 400 years between prophets, between Malachi and John the Baptist. We know the Lord's word still went forth because there were those who believed God. Can you imagine how they looked upon their people at that time and said, oh my goodness, where is my God today? How can these people go this direction? The same things that you and I have feelings of going on in our own souls. Yet it says in verse 9, look at these words again in verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Whew. Temptations, that word temptations there is trial. Grace greater than our sin. I'm so ashamed of how weak I truly am. How can this weak soul stand before the people of God and tell you to be strong when I can't be strong myself? I don't know. Sometimes I don't know until I get right here in the pulpit and start reading the Word of God to you, like we'll do today. These words of the Lord's judgment against those who speak evil in truth at that time could easily fall on each of us, could they not? And it may be he will send this judgment upon those very ones in our day. It could be he's sending the judgment on the church right now. Yet, folks, you and I have nothing to fear. We really have nothing to fear. I know it's hard to say that. I know it's hard to feel that. You think David never, a man after God's own heart, never had doubts? Yeah, he had times of faith and strong faith and encouragement to say, yes, I have nothing to fear. But there were times where he felt just as much fear as you and I do about what's going on around us. Are we saved? Verses 5 and 8 are about delivering the just. Delivering the preachers of righteousness that we read about. From the covetous ones. From those who shall with feigned words make merchandise of you. As it reads in verse 3. Those that it talks about. The Lord spared not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. One who preaches the righteousness of Christ, one who is just in the sight of God, can see that we are only that. We are only righteous. I can only preach the righteousness because it's the righteousness of Christ. I am just because I am just in my Savior. He is our righteousness. He is our justifier. And the Lord knows how to deliver us through these times, and He will. Look back at 1 Peter chapter 1 again, if you would, with me. Wherein, verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice through, though now for a season, if need be ye are in heaviness, through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found, what? Found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Our trials, the trials of this world, are but a path for us to praise our Savior in His grace. Are things getting rough for us? Absolutely. Oh, how thankful I am that our Lord has not left me. He has not left us to go the ways of the world, but He has shown to us the ways of the world, that we would see the ways of His Son in redeeming us from the ways that we used to walk in. Rather than getting what we deserve, and all those ones who go out and like I read back there in verse 3, and through covenant shall they, through feigned words, make merchandise of you. Rather than being one who might walk like that, my God, because He has loved me from before the world was, because He spared not His only begotten Son, He has given me everything as He has given you. And these fires that we see in the world around us, these fires in our own soul, these fires and trials of sin that besets us, these are all fires that bring us to Him. Bring us to our knees to search to our Lord, for we can't fix it ourselves. We can't take care of it ourselves. This grace that's greater than all our sin is the grace that is before us. Read on now in our text, 2 Peter chapter 2. Let's read verses 10 through 22 if you would. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh. This is going to describe all of the places where you and I could be. This is the grace that is greater than our sin, that God didn't leave us to this. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, that they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord, but these as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin. Beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Basur, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with a man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with the tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. And when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean, escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in mire. We've read this several times just recently in last week's study and in our Friday night study. They went out from us because they were never of us. Folks, that could be you and I. This is the grace of God that is greater than everything we know. Is that He didn't leave us to that. I know there's a lot of pictorial stuff in that we just read that, quite honest with you, I have no idea what it means. Even after reading some of the commentary, I really don't understand it. But I do know this, that if it was not for the grace of my God, there go I.
Amen. That's right.
Look over at 1 John. Hold your place here. We're going to come back to 2 Peter in just a moment. Just a couple pages to the right. Actually, just two, as a matter of fact. 1 John chapter 2. Look at verses 18 and 19 with me. Little children, 18 and 19 of chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out, that they might be made manifest, that they were not all of us. These false preachers, these false teachers that Peter is warning us about, these ones who lead the people to destruction, their day will come. But ours, yours and mine, our day has already come. It came upon our substitute, our sacrifice, who took all of our sins upon Him, all of our iniquities upon Himself, that we would have His perfect righteousness to claim as our own. Ours has come already. Our day came when we died in our Savior, when our condemnation was laid upon Him. Don't you just love to hear these words? Romans 8, chapter 1, or chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation. Don't you just love to hear that? I need to hear that over and over again. Until the Lord takes us out of this sinful flesh, I need to hear it all the time. There is now no condemnation. Why? Because my condemnation was laid on my Lord. What I deserve to be condemned for was laid on Him. That's the love of God for us. That's the depth of His love, that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should have everlasting life. I'm going to close now with chapter 3 without comment. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. Oh, and hear these words. Listen to this. But is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner ought ye to be in holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God? I know some of us are up in our ears. I hear my pastor speak of his wife and him, how they wait. They wait patiently, looking for and hasting unto that coming day of God, when they shall leave this world. The coming day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all of his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Yet therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things, before beware lest ye also, being led away by the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. I appreciate your prayers for where we will go next in our Lord's word.